As we're increasingly being told by serious researchers and popular science writers alike, a good night's sleep is essential to our health and well-being. But it's something Paul F. Morfiedis has known for decades. The entrepreneur had an epiphany as a young man after he made a bed of real seaweed in his native Greece and had the best sleep of his life. In 1989, he founded the mattress brand Cocomat to bring natural, sustainable, and comfortable beds to the world. Today, the company has shops in 17 countries spanning the globe. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Matt Alagaya. Today, Paul is here to explain how his early epiphany led him to establish Cocomat in the first place, and to talk us through why sustainability and nature are such profound sources of inspiration for him.
So I had a girlfriend and I had no money, so I wanted to go on holiday. So I go to my mother's place, country house, you know, and I say, this is blah, blah, let us enjoy, you know, a week here. No, 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 you're not married, you're not allowed to get in. Then I listened to my heart and then I went down to the beach with the girl. So we were looking for some place to sleep at night, comfortable. So that was a big, huge mattress made out of the sea. The sea itself produces mattresses. You've seen seaweed, no? Then we decided to stay there. It was cold at night, although during the day it's very warm. But it was very comfortable, and what you breathe, it was something iodine, you know? It was something unique, different. Then I said, why don't we make a mattress? Go back to my mother. Why don't we make a mattress and put it on the terrace and let us sleep here? Because she was afraid that we would sort of spoil the new plastic mattresses that she bought, you know. So no, these mattresses made out of seaweed is no good. I've been doing that 40 years and they crack and every year you have to change them and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I realized there was a tradition in that. That was a culture, making mattresses. And then I started the first mattress and then the second. And of course, my mother was right that this mattress collapses, hasn't got any spring effect. That's why seaweed, you use it in order to get the iodine, but we use another 16 raw materials in order to make the best mattress in the world, natural mattresses, you know, no springs, whatever.
So wait, this is a kind of a traditional Greek mattress, basically, using seaweed. That's been done before, it wasn't?
That used to be many years ago, let's say 60, 70 years ago, by people that they used to live near the seaside. Other people in the mountains, they used to get other materials like hay or whatever. If you go back to ancient Greece and you see that Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, you know, Pythagoras, they used to sleep on mattresses like this. And they used to avoid, let's say, something that was hard. So other people, let's say, handcrafted mattresses were made for them. And all these people, they lived more than 80 years, and they were happy, leading a nice life, no?
Happy and healthy people,
yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So this was in the late 80s, I believe, when you had this this epic...
This is when Cocomat started, 89.
Right.
But always in my head there was this inspiration by nature in order to do something that would be offered by nature without having any footprint. That was in my head the whole time. Like the pen I gave you, a little present from Greece. This is given by nature. So what I'm trying to say is that you go to nature and you find out it is something wise around you. Just take the time and inspire yourself to make beautiful, unique products.
Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? I mean, did you always think in one stage in your life you would set up a company?
I don't consider myself as an entrepreneur. But what I like to do is to help other people being happy. And this is one way, let's say, to offer jobs. I'm not after money. As you see, I don't have any clothes. You know, I go from Greece, the southern part of Europe, to the northern part, 3.5 months. I only wear this T-shirt and this pair of trousers, short. And unfortunately, I came here, it's very cold. So I'm never attracted by money and power. I'm always attracted by offering people because in happiness, no? Make people happy. Because I believe that when we leave this place, all of us, we come and go, transit, okay? Something is waiting for us. Somebody is waiting. I don't know what. I cannot explain. But there's only one passport to, let's say, go to paradise, if it exists or whatever, to say that you were an altruist, you were doing things for other people. And this is not just when we finish our lives. Yeah, but it's while somehow you get energy. I'm never tired. Yeah? I cycle the whole time. And people ask me, what do you take? I said, I take water. I ask you for a lot of water. And I think energy, it comes from different ways. And I redefined energy myself, because energy is not just food. It is the sun also, but there are other things to consider, like helping people, like being happy because other people are happy. I think it's a huge sort of source of energy. I'm not good at defining that, but I know myself. This gives me the power of doing continuously these sort of things, to create jobs for other people.
We'll come back to the jobs in a second. You've mentioned there altruism. You've also mentioned that you're cycling. We should probably go into that. I mean, you've been cycling for about a month already, but you're on an epic journey around Europe wearing, as you said, shorts and a T-shirt.
And nothing else. I wash them every night and then I wear them again the following day.
So what's the trip for?
First of all, to show Greek people that don't be afraid of this crisis. They say crisis. I don't believe in any crisis. I think that we have everything in Greece. It is a fight between people. It is a fight about money, because you can cultivate everything there. You can have anything you want without any money, nothing, just plant a tree and it grows, plant tomatoes, you get it. But people, they don't know the truth, and they are fighting one with another, saying, I owe you money, you give me money. And anyway, the word money is involved in every sentence, and people are unhappy. So we decided to make this bike in Greece, a wooden bike, a beautiful 100% wooden bike, made out of ancient thinking. That means everything is in nature. Go there and get it. You don't need a huge industry. You don't need an infrastructure to do that. You create yourself. First of all, it's the only factory in the world producing wooden bikes. And we did that with the University of Athens. And I want to prove to everybody that this bike is the most functional bike in the world. It might sound a little bit arrogant, but I think with the students I met, I said, we are going to make something unique. This bike hasn't got any connection between the saddle and the pedals. It is unique. No other bikes. All bikes, they have a connection. And we created the suspension, let's say, by the V that we have at the rear wheel. So we are doing that to prove that impossible is just nothing. Nothing is impossible. Everything is there just to make young people being enthusiastic and not pessimistic about what they hear in news, TV, radio. And if somebody with my age, let's say I'm 60, goes from the southern part to the northern part of Europe with a wooden bike made by students, which we sell everywhere in the world, then everything is possible. A crisis is, it doesn't exist, you know? It's just a fight.
I should mention to listeners at home that Paul doesn't look a day over 30, and he says he's closer to 60. I don't believe it. You're cycling close to 100 kilometres a day, you were saying?
No, more than that. 150, let's say.
On a wooden bike?
Yes.
No plastic, no titanium?
No, nothing. Is this wooden? It's a pity I couldn't take it with me. And I hope some people, they get it in London to do tours. Tours in London. We have different places where we do that. Stockholm, Amsterdam, Berlin, Bordeaux, Athens, Thessaloniki, more places anyway. And it is to prove that people can do anything they like, if they are in love with nature. It sounds a little bit crazy because for young people, especially because they believe in different principles, whereas we believe in nature, and it is given, like the hearts we make out of cotton. Did I give you a heart?
Not yet, no.
No, I will.
I've
give
got
you.
A pen already, but
yeah,
not
a pen,
not
a heart. This is made out of cotton. Disabled ladies, they make these hearts, and it is a key hanger. So people, they love it, and it has a lot of energy. At the end, whatever we do is sort of birth to the enthusiasm we have. I don't believe that you have to have big things, infrastructure or whatever, or professionalism. Of course, we are professionals, but if you are enthusiastic, if you have passion in what you do, professionalism goes second.
That's interesting, because you have built Cocomat into this amazing brand. I mean, it's present in lots of countries. You have over 100 stores now, I think, as well. Just talk us through how you've grown the business from, you know, these relatively small beginnings in 89.
Yes, it was just a little shop. Not even. We started the business by producing raw materials for companies that they produce mattresses. Then we made mattresses. Then we made beds. Then we made shops to sell, because we used to sell our beds and mattresses to people, to furniture places, but they wouldn't treat them like our kids. The products must be treated like a family, sort of member, you know what I mean? So we put our mattresses and beds not in plastic to deliver. So we put them in cotton bags, which we take back again. So that means we try to pollute as less as possible. We deliver in some cities by bike. We have a trailer, wooden bikes, with a trailer where we go to a distance of 3 kilometers by bike. We try all this, and little by little it became also the hospitality, which is a very sort of Greek, I would say, passion. You go to a Greek village and they invite you by force and they say, come and eat with us, come and sleep with us, you know. And then this hospitality feeling that we have, and I especially have it. I'm born in Sparta, in a little place. And I remember that every day foreigners, they used to come to our place to eat, because my father used to work in Germany. He felt, you know, a foreigner for many, many years. And then when he came back to Greece, we invited people by, you know, because of everything is hot in Greece. All days are, you know, open and no a lot of rain. So you live outside, you meet somebody, you invite them home. So this gave the company also this hospitality, this welcome to people. We started hotels. Now we own 7 hotels. One of them top level in Athens and on islands. And then we have all this, let's say, kokomat hospitality around tourism. We have also a big company, I would say the most modern right now, because we did that a year ago, a year and a half, cleaning, washing bed linen, which works with solar panels, with gas, and is the most ecologic in the world. So we are involved in hospitality, and not only shops. We have a company in Athens transporting people and showing around by cars, which they are only by gas and hybrid cars and the bikes. And we try our best to leave to coming generations as much as we had when we started Kokomat.
You mentioned there all of the kind of ecological credentials of the company and how eco-friendly it is. That's kind of built into the DNA of the company, and it has been since you started. Does it kind of irk you a little bit, though, when you see other companies now sort of jumping on the bandwagon? Because I think we know, you know, lots of people now are kind of greenwashing a little bit. You know, you see companies trying to become a bit more green, but they're not. It's not really in the DNA of the company, whereas it was for you from the beginning.
No, on the contrary, I love it. When I see that they influence other people, I love it. And there are many young people in Greece, especially one who started a company producing different panels out of seaweed. He was my student. No, on the contrary, I love whenever I see something, because I don't want to possess anything in my life. You know, I'm a free man. I mean, if another company is bigger, I am happy for them, you know, because I believe the more you have, the unhappier you become. Sorry to say that, but you have too many worries, you know. If another company goes and they have a bigger turnover than us, I'm happy. Believe me, it's nothing against our principles that people sort of copy us in a way. Like in China, we started a shop. Now we have 22 shops in China. Chinese people are very rich and they want to get the best for themselves now. Few Chinese, but they are. And next to our shop, there was another shop, exactly the same. Not only the products, but the name, everything. My brother got aggravated, and he's a lawyer. He said, we start something against them. I said, no, because there's no way to stop other people copying you. It's nice. Let them do their job, but we do that better. And I told you that sometimes you might have 999 details, but if you are missing one, the company doesn't function as well as the other company, you know? So, and I give you an example. We invited people to enjoy our beds and mattresses inside the shops, because we wanted them to be sure that they get the best they can find in the market. So we have in New York, in Berlin, in Milano, we have suites inside the shop where they can get a shower. You can have a night's sleep to see if you like it, what you're buying. And then this is not easy to copy, you know what I mean? Then we started the hotels. We built one hotel because we believe that people, they have to stay there and try the type of the mattress they want to buy. Then one hotel became two, and now we have seven. And we have plenty of customers now that they buy beds from us where they can offer to their customers 48 possibilities in one bed. They buy one bed and they offer 48. We call this bed Pythagoras, to honor Pythagoras, because the mathematician. No? And nowadays, people, they look for these hotels because it is a bed menu. So there are so many little details that people cannot copy.
That's an interesting. I mean, it's fascinating to hear someone come on this show and say that they're not too fussed about people copying their idea and being bigger than them. That's something I've never heard on this show, but it's very refreshing. Looking at the retail side of things, because actually that's a really interesting point you've just made. Again, you were kind of ahead of the curve on this, because a lot of people now say, okay, if you're going to beat e-commerce, if you're going to beat people buying stuff online, you need to make retail a really amazing experience. And you seem to have done that from the get-go as well. So you can try out the beds, but also you're offered Greek tea and things in the store. So you try and make it a really special experience for the customer as well.
Customer has to be family, you know what I mean? I mean, if you go to the traditional way, you give me your money, I give you a product, nothing will grow. Or at least in our way that we do business, you know. All customers around the world, they have the feeling that they are welcome. We have three residences in Greece where people are not allowed to pay. It is a hotel, but we call them residences. They are not allowed to pay anything. They go there with groups, you know, family union, reunions, and they meet and they have fun. They take pictures. I mean, and in this way we grow. And I think that it is the most eco way to grow without spending money and publishing sort of pages, yeah, and saying here we are, and saying to TV and radio, be aggressive and grow very fast, you know. Let mouth to mouth be what you need in your progress, in your growth. And we do that more than 20 years now. And of course, you're welcome, and everybody is welcome. Even the people, they hear us and they don't know anything about Kokoma. They send us an email and say, I want to see the way you produce. We have a beautiful residence, up to 30 people, beautiful, unique, 100% natural, big stones, no material that, you know, are synthetic, everything handmade, the whole house is handmade. That means with stones and wood, up in Xanthi, where we produce in Greece. And there are wooden bikes outside to go to the factory, 6 kilometers far away. In a river, you hear nightingales at night because it's so quiet, it's a beautiful place. And all these people, when they go back and they are happy, they are talking about you. So you don't need to fascinate people by bombarding them in TVs and in TV and radio. Just go slowly and result will come.
Is it difficult being a businessman and I mean, you say you're not an entrepreneur, you don't consider yourself an entrepreneur, but is it difficult to run so three very separate businesses, basically? So you're a manufacturing business on the one side, you're a retail business, and you're also now a hospitality business with hotels. They're all very different, and you need different skills to run them all. How does that work?
You don't need the skills. You need passion. You don't nothing. I mean, I don't believe in professionalism. Sorry to say that. Some people are. No, I don't believe that. I believe in passion. If you want something to be done, it's going to be done because you want it, because you inspire other people to be with you. Inspire people instead of digging into a product. Make other people work for this product, you know what I mean? Like bikes. I wanted to make a bike because I believe this is something to get Greece out of the crisis. Together with students in Athens, they made something unique. I didn't do that. They did. Young people. They designed the bike. We found the wood. We went there. We cut it without any machines, nothing, zero from the beginning. Now we have some machines because we produce 6 to 7 bikes a day, okay? And it goes everywhere in the world. And there's a waiting list for months. Some people are waiting for this foldable bike for a year and a half. So it is not the skills that bring you some. It is also a different way, of course. Other people do other business. But, I mean, you're asking Kokomat, and I believe in passion and enthusiasm than in skills. And it's not the business you mentioned are linked. I mean, hospitality is linked to beds. Washing, you know, bed linen is linked to hospitality. Everything is around hospitality. That means everything is making people happy. So you have clean sheets, they enjoy. It has to be eco. You produce that because the sun is there, the solution is there. It's a little bit sometimes more expensive, okay, but better to do something unique than to make a bike that in within 2 years is thrown away. So we make the products that they don't break. That's why they are sort of sustainable, because they go forever. We give a lifetime guarantee for the bike, and we give people their money back when they buy a bike in order to have holidays in Greece, because this is honored to the Greek university and to the Greek society that people, they come to Greece and they see that we are progressing and we are not just in crisis and asking other countries money, you know?
Let's look quickly at the crisis. I mean, you've mentioned it a couple of times. Do you think that, I don't know, your company is quite a good model for how Greece can get out of it and put the crisis behind it? Because there are very few good news stories at the moment coming out of Greece. And that is saddening, I'm sure.
It is how you look at this, the perspective you look at a crisis. We have to define what is crisis, by the way. Crisis for me, as a peasant from a little village, is not to have goods. You know, not to have tomatoes, not to have whatever we need in order. Primary needs is this. So everything is there. Where's the crisis then? It's between the banks, between people. They offered money to Greece, and Greece probably they paid too much money, too much rent to give it back. But anyway, money is involved. Just get out of that. Go to a Greek house and see if they are missing something. They're missing nothing. Unless you go to Athens, where 5.5 million people live, and they don't produce anything. They produce zero every day. This is the crisis, that people left their villages and they went to Athens doing services or whatever. Bureaucratic problems are there because they don't. If you don't produce anything, you stop other people producing. You know what I mean? So this is the way that Greece can get out of crisis, by making people happy. Don't make them rich, because you cannot make anybody rich, okay? You can make them happy, and they find their own way to become rich, to get money, I mean, to create something. This is rich, okay? To create something, you become rich. If you have all the products you need, you are a rich guy, no?
I guess that's why everything, you know, is made in Xanthi, in this factory in northern Greece.
Yes, and I hope you come one day with all your colleagues here to enjoy, to have a meeting, team building, as we call it, and you have a lot of fun, and you see a different world.
That I may hold you to that. Yeah, that
yes, sounds I hope very so. Nice. I hope so. Yes.
Let's talk about the US now, because I know you're moving into the US. This is kind of a big push for the company in the next couple of years, I think. Just talk us through why you're moving into the US, how that works, and what are your plans for entering the market?
US is just like any other country. I mean, people live there, and the ones, they believe in nature and they want something nice for their bodies and their minds, okay, they are welcome. I mean, we don't consider US in a different way. It is the same country as China. It is the same country as Greece. Some people, they love nature and they buy our products because they love their bodies, you know, they want to be healthy. Some people, they care about a bed without any springs, which provokes, let's say, a magnetic felt, and some others, they don't. These people, they are all over the world. The States is a big market, of course. We have 4 shops now in New York. We try our best to persuade everybody that when you sleep, don't have any mobile next to you, don't have any springs around you, because this magnetic felt underneath your body is no good. And the springs, of course, they are there because it is cheaper. You make a mattress out of air. So we don't. We use natural rubber, we use cocoa fiber, we use eucalyptus, cactus, seaweed, cotton, wool, all the natural materials you can find, and it is nature-made fibers and not man-made fibers. So US then is a big market. Why not?
And the US is also the birthplace of a lot of these mattress startups, which are obviously growing everywhere, and they sort of send a mattress to you and let you sleep on it for 100 nights, all of that stuff. It's a very familiar model to lots of people in the West and elsewhere. I'm guessing you don't see them as competitors to you.
No. I mean, everybody, you know, sun shines every day for everybody. You know, let them do their job, we do ours. I mean, we sort of make our customers comfortable to choose, you know, without pushing them. That's why we offer them free nights at hotels without any obligation to buy whatsoever. That's why we have the hotels. Because if you have a good intention for the altruist, for the other person, you know, in life, then you get it back. If you push somebody in order to become richer, what is richer, I don't know, but if you push somebody, it's not good. So let them free to choose. That's why we started with one hotel. Now we have seven, and we have more than 2,000 hotels around the globe with our products. So we give them the opportunity to find out the truth. This is what we believe. That's why all our products, I insist in that, they have a zipper of buttons. There is not a single Kokoma product without having 100% transparency.
And finally, what are the next steps for the company? I mean, where are you going in the future? I mean, you seem like a guy who's got a lot of vision for where he wants to see the world and where you want to see the company. So what are the next 3, 4 years, 5 years look like for Kokomat?
If I knew where I would be going, it would be so boring for me, I would stop, you know? I don't know. You see, I came to London, I didn't know where to go, where to come. Every day is a new day, you know? That's where you are alive. If you know what you do in life, I mean, forget about that. It's too boring, at least for me. It's a surprise every day. I thank God that every day it surprises me again with new things. I met you today, smiling young guy, so it's nice. I didn't plan anything. They sent me to London to give you the interview, and I was very much surprised what I saw and what I'm doing with you. And the same policy, if you ask me, is with our company. To produce, this is the most important thing. To be sort of productive every day, to produce things and to be productive, that means that people can afford what you produce. Let's say I mentioned this shampoo where you put it in bamboo. If you make it too expensive, people, they cannot afford to buy that. The same is with toothbrush, you know. You must be productive. You must produce, but in a very productive way. To be close to what China offers, to what other people offer with plastic. You produce something natural, and you must be not expensive. You must be close to that. This is what we're trying to do every day. It doesn't matter the product. We must save the earth. I mean, I believe that it's a big threat with plastic. Not that we die because there is plastic, but the quality of life goes down. And I don't like that. We are transit. We must enjoy the years we are on earth.
That's all we have time for on today's show. Thanks very much to Paul F. Morfides for coming in and sharing the story of Kokomat. This show was produced by Daniel Bache and mixed and edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.